Hello and welcome to Radio Gorgeous. And today I've got life coach Nicola Findlay talking about her book, which has quite an outrageous title, but obviously we love that at Radio Gorgeous. It's Live Life, Live Like You Give a Fuck. This is outrageous. I love it. Hi, Nicola. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi, and thank you for having me.
So what is living like you give a fuck about?
Live like you give a fuck is basically, it's like a no-nonsense philosophy for smart women that want to smash it in life. It's about kind of, you know, deciding what you want and having the balls to go out and get it. And it's kind of giving you all those tools and strategies inside.
So you're a life coach, and have you learned these, have you made up this philosophy yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a journey, if I'm honest with you. I kind of started this journey about 10 years ago, where I literally got given my first self-help book when it was a time when I'd only read OK Magazine and Hello Magazine, that was it. And I got this book and I was like, okay, sort of begrudgingly, I'll read it. And it had me on the first page. And that was the start of a journey that took me to many more books, all of the classics. Some of my favourite, Excuse Me, Your Life Is Waiting, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. I love Deepak Chopra's Spiritual Laws of Success. It touches me every time I read it. And that led to a journey of doing courses and studies and seminars, and kind of looking back through everything I've gone through, I've taken the bits that have worked for me and kind of mashed them into this philosophy with a bit of, you know, kick-ass attitude in there as well, to kind of, you know, empower and motivate the women of today.
Now, I'm interested to know that you said you read it 10 years ago. Were you at a low point in your life then, a crossroads?
I think I wouldn't say, in all honesty, I haven't had tragedy in my life. I haven't had really bad low points. I'll tell you what I think a lot of women are, is everything was just okay and everything was ticking along. But I wasn't pushing myself. I wasn't challenging myself.
Or maybe you hadn't found yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So it was an opportunity for me at that time to kind of discover a new side of me. So it was kind of thinking, oh, actually, yeah, I am in control of my thoughts. I can control my destiny. I have got the power to shape things in my life. It's not all the government. It's not all my job. It's not all the boss.
You can't,
it's not
blame
everybody
everyone.
Else. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I can actually take some personal autonomy and make the shifts that I want to see in my life. Mm. Absolutely.
So how did you practically apply these books that you were devouring?
I think the biggest thing, honestly, is a mindset shift. And the thing with that is it doesn't happen overnight. You know, really being able to reframe situations. So in an instant, you don't feel bad. Being able to step into your confidence, things like that. I think the biggest practical thing I took away was goal setting. So before, I'd have been like, what's all that about? I'm not interested. And slowly over time, just looking at what I wanted to achieve in the following year and really setting some goals. And what's scary is when you write these things down, this shit can happen, you know. So it's been really satisfying to see that actually it does work, and you push yourself to another level. You're writing it down, you're making a commitment to do it, and you're deciding what you want. So it's kind of opening you up to all these new opportunities and experiences that you wouldn't have if you just kind of glided through life without thinking about what you want.
Do you think there's a side of people, though, and I know I've got it, which is like self-sabotage. So I'll set up a goal, but I'm scared of it.
Yeah.
So I sort of fantasize about it, but actually doing it is another thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think even in writing this book, there's been times when I'm like, who am I to write this? No one gives a shit about me. What have I got to share that's of value to someone else? And I think there's this huge amount of fear of failure. You know, what if it flops? But you've got to remember, like, for me personally, I'm just like, the book's out there, that's the goal. If one person finds it of value, then that's a huge success. But also, I think sometimes we can almost be fearful of the success that might happen.
Yes, and I, because our life will change
exactly
too much.
So if you start Radio Gorgeous and before you do it and you think, oh, you know, okay, it could fail, but also it might mean that you need to step up your game.
Yes.
And you've got to then start approaching and dealing with people that you haven't that you haven't dealt with before. So absolutely. And I think what you've just got to realize is what if you don't do it? What if you don't put this idea or this dream into action? You know, you can now sit back and think, I did it, and the world's a better place for me making this decision.
Now, Nicola, do our dreams have to be big, or can they be like quite small?
I do talk about this, and I'm kind of sick of hearing dream big and climb the mountain and soar to new heights all of the time. I think, in all honesty, if you were built like that, you would be the Zuckerbergs and the, you know, the business leaders of the world today.
Already.
Exactly.
You wouldn't need the book.
You wouldn't need the book if you were programmed like that. So what I think is, it's about taking the baby steps. You've got to walk before you can run, and it's like a muscle. It builds slowly, so you've got to take it step by step, because what's going to happen is, if you set yourself this outlandish goal, you're going to scare yourself shitless before you even get there. And when you do have a little setback on the way, it's going to completely deter you, of course. I think it's great to chunk it down, start with something simple that's manageable, that's going to give you that boost of self-esteem, it's going to give you that boost of confidence, and then once you've achieved that, push yourself to the next level. I think what you've got to do is, you make sure you don't make it too easy on yourself, though. You know, like, if you want to, you know, if you start running for the first time, don't sign up for a marathon like next week, but you could go and do, you know, a little jog in the park, and then next week you might do 2 laps, and then the week after you might do 3. So just build it up, but don't go and do 1 and then, you know, when you know you can do more. So you've got to know in yourself, don't cheat yourself.
I like that. Don't cheat yourself. Now, can you explain, what is living like you give a fuck? What sort of, can you tell us some examples?
I think really it's about the philosophy of being grateful. I think it all starts there. I think when you get into a state where you can live in gratitude, things, the little things that bug you and annoy you, stop irritating you in life, and you can start appreciating things a lot more. And that's, you know, gifts and things will show up for you in the world. So I think it starts with gratitude. It's also about your beliefs. It's about what you say to yourself. You know, it's like, who told you you can't do it? You did. So there's a big amount on learning to tweak that voice in your mind and listen to the right one, because there's a couple of battling in there. And so we need to quieten one down and make sure that the voice that roars is the one that's going to help us move forward.
So we've all got the voice that says, you're a failure, you can't do it, you're useless, you're fat, you're ugly. Mm-hmm. How can you tell us how to quieten it down?
I think the first thing you need to do is you need to acknowledge it. So it almost becomes routine. It's like we expect it, and we kind of agree with her. And give her a name. Like, I call mine Sandra. Like, and you almost give that negative self-talk a little persona, someone that you can have a battle with and say, actually, you're not helping me in this situation right now. You can fuck off. You know, I don't need you. And for me, I find it easier to deal with that voice and to switch it off when I you know, command it and I tell it and I treat it as another entity. Yeah. And then also what I think you need to do is, you need to have the opposing thing to...
Who's your nice one then? You've got Sandra the bitch.
Yeah.
Who's the nice angel friend?
Actually, I don't have a name for my angel.
I think you've got to have to... I think next time I see you, you've got to have devised one.
Yeah. She's just a badass. Like, I don't know what her name is, but she's a badass. And she's the one that's going to make everything happen. And what I just, you know, I'd like people to... just find, if you're saying to yourself, oh, I'm a failure, just have another version that's a positive version of that to replace it with. So as soon as you hear I'm a failure, you shut it down, tell her to get lost, but then have something else saying, no, I'm not, because I did this before and I was amazing at it. So you've got something to counteract it with.
So you've got to remember the positive things that have happened to you in your life and the things that add up. And they can be small again, can't they?
Absolutely.
Can be, you know.
And you forget things. You know, 10 years ago you did that presentation and it rocked. Yeah. Or, you know, you went up to someone and you introduced yourself and you got a job. Or, you know, all these little things that happened.
Or you did a course on your own and everyone, you know, secretly. Or you did a course on the internet and no one knew about it. And then you suddenly said, look, I've got these qualifications.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. And it's about remembering all the skills and characteristics and attributes that you had to do all these things. And you know what I think we do as women? We love to remember all the things that we're not good at. And we need to start changing the filter because that's only going to make us feel worse. So we need to kind of have in place a filter that says, actually, no, these are all the things that I'm great at. These are the reasons why I am confident. These are the reasons why I can do this. These are all the skills I've got. This is all the knowledge that I have.
So you've got lots of room for notes. Should we write it all down so we can remind ourselves?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I'm a big fan of pen and paper. I think it commits I think it commits it more to the mind and to the subconscious when you write it down. But I know people are really into their notes and their apps and everything they've got. So look, whatever's going to work for you, do what works for you.
So do you have a notepad then that you look at?
Yeah, I've got like a journal that's ongoing. I've got a couple stacked up. I'm really excited at Christmas. I'll probably get another new one. I've left a note on my Santa's list. And I love, like, especially this time of year, the book's out. I'm looking to next year and all the things that I want to achieve. So I'll be scribbling and scrawling away and kind of making my notes and kind of saying, like, what's the stuff in here that I'd like to become a reality for next year? And then finding a way to make it happen.
So you read the self-help books. How did you become then a life coach?
I started working with a great company in London actually called Life Clubs, and they ran personal development workshops. So I trained with them and then I went to run my own franchise of that down in Brighton.
Oh, great. So they kind of supported you.
Yes. And it was brilliant. Our coaching was certified by the ICF. And so then I went down to do workshops once a week, weekly development workshops, which was great. I met a huge range of people. It was great group. I like the group scenario. I think people get a lot out of it, hearing different people's circumstances and situations.
And also making you feel like yours isn't as bad.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that thing, because everyone thinks, oh, my story. I'm not very good. I'm a bit useless. And then you meet other people and you think, oh, actually, maybe
I'm not so bad. It's great to have other people's perspectives.
Yeah, and then other people. But I've got a friend who pays quite a lot of money to be part of a business women's group. But she says it's worth the thousands she pays, because she said they have really coached me into. She had to pay. She wanted her son to go to private. Mm-hmm. She now can afford her son to go to private.
Wow.
You know,
exactly.
Because she tried lots of things and it didn't, for about 2 or 3 years, didn't work.
Yeah.
But they've kept meeting and they kept saying, try this.
Yeah. And it's that camaraderie and it's having the expectations of stepping up and someone's and being accountable to somebody. I think it's brilliant. So that's why, you know, next year we'll be looking at setting up Facebook groups and things for people to kind of share their goals and for someone to say, yep, we've seen you, you've posted it now, you've said it, so you've got to go and do it. And it'll make you step up to another level for sure.
So tell us more about your background. What did you do before you were a life coach?
Before I was a life coach, in my former life, I was an air hostess for British Airways.
Amazing. Well, you are very glamorous.
I can just see you
in the outfit. Was that when Vivienne Westwood designed the outfits, or who was
At the time when I was working, we had the lovely Julian McDonald designed our uniforms, so it was very nice.
Did you wear a hat?
I didn't wear a hat. Yeah. No, they've got the hats now, which I love. Yeah, I love the hat and
so
gloves.
So kind of Mad Men.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And it reminds me of the kind of sort of Pam Am days of the glamour age of travel. Yeah. But yeah, I had a great time travelling out of Gatwick and flying to the sun and Barbados and Antigua and had lots of fun and travels. Oh. So yeah, it was a really, really good time. And it's nice to do things. I don't do it now. Mm. But it's great to look back. I don't regret that I did it. I had a great time. And for that time before I had a family, I had some great experiences, made friends that are gorgeous that I still have today. So, yeah, it was lots of fun.
So you settled down now, Nicola. I can't believe you have. You're so exciting.
Yes, I've now settled. I've got a lovely daughter, Malia, who's now 7.
Wow.
I can't believe the time has gone so fast. It's now's the time to kind of, now she's grown up, I made a decision to stay at home and spend some quality time with her.
But then you could still do your life coaching on the side.
Exactly.
You could still read the books. You could still study.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I did study and I did read. And that's the great thing. There's loads of things you can still do when you're kind of juggling that kind of at home situation. And now she's a bit more independent. I felt it was a good time for me to, you know, look at what I want to do for the next phase, and that's where the book came in.
So did you approach somebody or were you approached?
I had the idea a couple of years ago and I just started writing away. I think initially, in the same sense we were talking about earlier of being fearful and doubtful, I started writing and I was just writing on my laptop, and I kind of at points thought, this is probably just for me. Excuse me. And it kind of got closer and closer to being near the end. And I thought, actually, there's some good messages in here that I really would love to share. And I hope people would find them, you know, inspiring and useful. And so then I really kind of got into another gear, and I started going to some seminars and trainings, and again, like I got the mojo to say, yeah, I'm gonna put it out there, I'm gonna do it.
Great.
So then I approached a couple of publishers, and we found the right one that was gonna work for me, and here we are.
It's fantastic. I'm so proud of you. So on the back it says, the no-nonsense philosophy for smart girls who want to smash it. Boss a bitch, diet a hot mess, broke after payday, ghosted on Tinder. It feels like life is a constant hangover. Why not take 5 fucking minutes for yourself to decide what you really want? Slam on the brakes, kick off your heels and unplug from the social media circus. Thank you so much for coming onto Radio Gorgeous. You've been lively, brilliant, and you've given some fantastic tips.
Lovely. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And it's called Live Like You Give a Fuck by Nicola Findlay, and Create the Life You Want Now, Not Later. And it's published by Clink Street.
And it's available on Amazon.
Brilliant. So you can literally click one click and you've got it tomorrow.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. And for more amazing women, always go to radiogorgeous.com.